What would we do without old movies? Happy hours spent, just you and me making love and watching TV. And what would we do without Fairbanks, Gable, Taylor, Cooper, and Wayne? Friends who shared so much with us as we made our future plans or had a fight and just couldn't sleep. So much philosophy from movies. I've learned from watching Doris Day that in the end, everything turns out okay. And I try not to laugh too hard at them, 'cause we'll be an old movie too someday. And I try not to laugh too hard at them, 'cause we'll be an old movie too someday.
Lou London, the song Old Movies from the album Swing Time in Springtime. And, you know, that album reminds me to remind you of our, excuse me a minute. I think the winter is starting to get to me. I just bear with me for a minute. I actually just now started three incorrect songs. Don't mind me. It's the construction, it's the winter, it's everything. What I was going to say is hearing Lou London and that album, Swing Time and Springtime, reminded me to say something about Jerry Weber. In fact, we have a feature that mentions Jerry Weber, and I'm going to see if we can find time to play it at 10:30. So in about a half an hour. Jerry was the owner of Garbage Records, which eventually became Jerry's Records. Record Graveyard was another incarnation. But Jerry Weber was just the nicest guy. I've known Jerry since, gosh, the late 70s. And he passed away 1 week ago today. We did not know when we were on the air last week, but his death was announced later that evening. And the reason is Jerry's is where you went when you were on a quest, when you wanted to find a record. And, you know, pre-Amazon, pre-internet, you would just search and search and search his stacks of records, and also his own memory to help you try to find it. A wonderful person. We'll really miss him, and our sympathy to his family and just so many friends he has left behind. It's amazing how many people loved the late Jerry Weber. And we will, I'll make sure we find room for a feature about vinyl that one of our students did that included a nice interview with him. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger and Chad Green, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WCUC Clarion, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, WMCK.FM, McKeesport, RadioPhoenix.org, Loudspeaker.FM, Fort Collins, Colorado, and slvradio.org/radio. Now we have a feature for Black History Month from our archives. You may know the Hill District and its storied history and the continued development forward for this Pittsburgh community. Terry Baltimore is a resident of the Hill and has made it her personal mission to make sure that the Hill District's legacy and history is not forgotten. In November 2017, we had some SLB-trained youth sit down with Terry to gather her thoughts about the Hill District, and we're pleased to present the results.
My name is Terry Baltimore. My childhood was fun and complicated. So when I was little, I wasn't in the care of my parents. I grew up with my great-grandmother until I was about 5 years old. And I had a great-grandmother until I was 20. And I thought everybody had a great-grandmother. And when I was able to, I was back with my parents. And I was there with my mom and dad and a younger sister. We lived on a small street called Renfrew Street. When I think of growing up, I think of all the fun we had on that street. I feel like I was blessed in the space that I grew up in. I think back at all the stuff that we used to do, and kids right now would probably think, that wasn't fun. We like played dodgeball and hide and seek and softball. It was the boys against the girls. We didn't have a ball, so we actually wadded up like some aluminum foil. The group of kids that I grew up with, we did everything together, so it felt like we explored the world together, we learned together, and in many ways, some of us are still connected. Growing up, I was incredibly shy. I was the kid with the book in the corner. Like, my sister was a whirlwind. She would walk in a room, and she'd know everybody, and everybody know her, and I was the complete opposite. I started to do things that pushed me to not be quiet. I took jobs as a community organizer because it would force me to have to stand up in front of people I didn't know. I took classes in public speaking because I wanted to talk and I was afraid to. And so the only way that I could get out of that fear was to just find places that would force me up against that fear. I went to Duquesne University. I wanted to be a journalist and I learned a lot being on that campus. But one of the hardest things that I experienced was Duquesne was a place that had very few Black students. And so it was a place that taught me some hard lessons about what it meant to constantly be the other, to constantly be among the students that stood out. It was so hard that when I would finish with class, I would come back to a program that was based at Hill House just so I could be around people who would look at my brown face and see me. I had to go someplace almost every day so I could feel like the people who were looking at me knew me as a whole person and not just as the box. I think I've had a number of inspirations. My great-grandmother was my first inspiration. She was a woman who moved to Pittsburgh with four children, and she moved here on her own. She came here not knowing anybody, not having any community ties, not having any family ties. Consequently, she made a way for the rest of us. So she was a big inspiration. My mom and dad were also inspirations. So my mom taught me the value of being respectful and quiet. In quiet, you get to listen to other people before you jump in and say something. And I've always appreciated that as a gift. And my dad was the storyteller. When I was a kid, I used to hate the stories. I'm like, oh my God, is he going to tell that story again? But as I've grown up, I realized the value of those stories Well, he was telling us these stories over and over again because he didn't want us to forget them because they were the things that we were supposed to pass on. And so my dad gave me this gift of storytelling, which actually for the last 25 years, I've been a tour guide in the Hill District. I became a tour guide by accident. I was joining a group of college students shortly after I came to the Hill on a walkabout of the neighborhood. And I realized that these young white students came to the Hill District with this sense that they knew what this place was. And the way they described it was that the Hill District was dirty and it was old and it was a place they couldn't believe that they were made to come. And it was in that moment that I knew I didn't know a lot about the neighborhood, but I felt compelled to learn a lot. And little by little, I became a tour guide, starting out with a few groups of students. And now I do like 50 tours a year. So my goal is to hand over becoming a tour guide to another generation of Hill District residents, because they grow up in the Hill District not understanding what an amazing place this is and that people come from all over the world to be in the Hill District. And I think young people should own the legacy of their community and tell the stories of the community.
Terry, Baltimore as collected during a project called Girl Talk, made possible by Macaulay Ministries. And that recording goes back to November 13th, 2017, and is based on interviews by students participating in our Girl Talk program. Black History Month features every Saturday at 7 and 10, and also on our social media at SLB Radio all throughout February.
Back on the block, back in the hood. Who would have known that it would feel so good? Everybody I know done gone away, but the neighborhood is still the same. This is the place that made me strong. I got a whole lot of memories. I've been gone too long. It's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. It's good to be back. Good to be home again. It's good to be you. It's good to be me. Good to be young. Good to be old. Good to be home again. Take a look around. Whole lot of things ain't what they used to be. I used to eat my fruit straight off the tree. My old barbershop still going strong, but it's too damn bad. My hands are gone. And it's good to be here. It's good to be anywhere. It's good to be back, good to be home again. It's good to be you, it's good to be me, it's good to be young, good to be old, good to be home again. I'm back in the saddle, back on my horse. I'm back in town, back to the source. It's good to be here. It's good to be back, good to be home again. It's good to be you, good to be me, good to be young, good to be old, good to be home again. It's good to be here, good to be anywhere. Good to be back, good to be home again.
Keb Mo from his latest album. That's the title song. Good to Be, the name of the album, Good to Be Home Again. That song, we've been featuring it throughout the morning. You have a second? I just wanted to thank you for being here Saturday. I was thinking about it as I listened to that song. We play a range of music. We talk about a lot of different things. This morning, from music history and homestead, from the perspective of historian Jaquae Edward Carter, to memories from the Aurora Reading Club, to Terry Baltimore, who you just heard, to Jerry Weber in about 20 minutes in his record collection, puzzles and games and different genres of music. I'm really glad that you're the kind of person that can enjoy a range of things and that we can be together, be ourselves, and simply enjoy each other's company. As you know quite well, a lot of radio stations would approach programming by playing, you know, music from one specific year of one specific genre with a presentation style that doesn't allow much room for conversation and interaction. Well, that's a way to get big, big numbers, perhaps, in terms of numbers of listeners. But as I've often said, I'd much prefer you know, we had 1,000 listeners with a passion level of 100 than 100,000 listeners with a passion level of 1. Not that those are actual numbers, but you know what I mean. Thank you so much for making this all happen and for the pleasure of your company, especially on a day like today.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Early this morning, I mentioned the progress being made on our studio expansion. I typically do that as we catch up from the week, but I really should do it later in the day, too, so I'm going to do it right now while I have a minute. I'm pleased to let you know that just outside of our studios now, the new space is now carpeted. The lights are up, and it's beautiful. It looks like a pleasant, sunny room. One of four bookcases was built. We've got three more to assemble. 12 tables to put out and workstations for 8 people. Coming about next week, we have 3 studios being constructed. That'll go very fast. So we hope to soon open our expanded facility and youth media center. It will let us present a lot more music and conversation on the radio from all sorts of different sources, not just live, but recorded. And when things are open and ready to go, we'll let you know about some open houses and celebrations that we'll have together. As you may know, it's been interesting completing that project during the times we're in right now with the pandemic. One of the incredible things is all of the computer and electronic equipment, with one exception, is in-house now. There have been global computer chip shortages and delays. Everything is in place except for one of our large teaching screens, but we expect that to be in by the end of the month. Now, we are going to turn back the clock a little bit to hear a young man who we knew was poised for great success, and he has had it since this performance on SLB. He's charismatic. He plays and sings beautifully. Here he is from April 1st, 2017, Elias Corey.
Waking up to kiss you and nobody's there. The smell of your perfume still stuck in the air. It's so hard. Yesterday I thought I saw your shadow running round. It's funny how things never change in this old town. It's so far from the stars. And I wanna tell you everything, words I never got to see the first time around. And I remember everything when we were the children playing in this fairground. Trying to stay with you now. And if the whole world was watching, I'd still dance with you. Climb highways and byways to be there with you. Over and over, the only truth, everything comes back to you. I saw that you moved on with someone new. In the pub that we met, he's got his arms around you. It's so hard, so hard. And I wanna tell you everything, words I never got to see the first time around. And I remember everything when we were the children playing in this fairground. I'll stay with you now. And if the whole world was watching, I'd still dance with you. Climb highways and byways to be there with you. Over and over, the only truth, everything comes back to you. You still make me nervous when you walk in the room, and butterflies, they come alive when I'm next to you. Over and over, the only truth, everything comes back to you.
There you've got Elias Corey here at the Saturday Light Brigade. And it's nice to meet you. And can you tell me a little bit about yourself? We're starting to say you're 15. What community do you live in?
Oh, I live in Oakland.
And when did you start playing guitar?
Well, about 2 years ago.
It was 2? Actually,
yeah.
That's pretty incredible. You're starting to say.
I actually started playing 2 years ago, and it was basically, you know, a bet with my dad that, you know, I could play. You know, I was pretending to play guitar, and then he said he'd give me $100, you know, if I could actually play. You know, I guess I won the bet.
He probably did, too. Does he play guitar also?
Oh, yeah.
Do the two of you ever play together?
Yeah.
What other things do you like to do?
I like to write songs and try to, you know, get the community together by singing and stuff like that.
Tell me more about that. What do you do, and just sort of how you get people together?
I like to play at community centers and open mics and things like that.
And how does what drives your desire to do that?
And, you know, to give people, you know, some good music, you know?
Yeah, it's got to make you feel great. You have a great voice. Have you always liked to sing?
Yeah. You know, I've been practicing for the last, you know, year and a half, and I'm seeing, I guess I'm pretty good at it.
You know? Yeah, I would imagine. Do you play out a lot?
Oh, yeah. About almost every night at this point.
Where do you go? I guess if you're in Oakland, you've got a lot of choices.
Yeah. I play at Hambone's in Lawrenceville, the R Bar in Dormont, and Moondogs in Blawnox.
Oh, that's great. You're playing alongside a lot of people that are probably older, I would imagine. Is there anybody you'd like to say hello to or acknowledge? We already mentioned your dad, who gave you some incentive here.
And I'd like to give thanks to my mom, a big inspiration for me and my music interests and stuff like that. Yeah.
Well, great. We're going to hear a couple more songs. Tell me about the first song you played.
This song's called This Town. It's, I actually heard it on the radio myself, and I thought, you know, that's a pretty cool song. And I wanted to learn that. And when I sing it, everyone usually likes it. So, you know.
Great. Well, what are you going to do next?
I'm going to do a sort of an older song by Coldplay called Vi La Vida. But let's play it now. Used to rule the world, seas would rise and I gave the word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets I used to own. I used to roll the dice, believe the fear in my enemy's eyes. Listen as the crowd would sing, now the old king is dead, long live the king. Well, meaning I held the key, next the walls closed on me. And I discovered my castle stands upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand. I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mule, my sword and shield, my missionaries on a foreign field. And for some reason I can't explain, once you go, there was never, never an honest world. And that was when I ruled the world. It was the wicked and wild wind blew down the doors to let me in. Shattered windows and the sound of drums. People couldn't believe what I'd become. Revolutionaries wane, for my head on a silver plate. Just a puppet on a lonely string. Who would ever wanna be king? I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing, Roman cavalry choirs were singing. Be my mule, my sword and shield, my missionaries on a foreign field. And for some reason I can't explain, once you go, that was never, never an honest world. And that was when I ruled the world. I hear Jerusalem bells are ringing, Roman cavalry choirs are singing. Be my mule, my sword and shield, my missionaries on a foreign field. And for some reason I can't explain, I know St. Peter will call my name. It's never an honest world. Now's when I rule the world.
Elias Corey here. You really are natural, I think. When you're self-taught entirely.
Yes.
You really play well and sing well. I know the next song you're going to do is original. Are you writing a lot?
Yeah, I've been writing, you know, where I can, trying to just get ideas for stuff to write about. You know, there's so much to write about.
There sure is. I was curious, what's your process like? Do you keep a list of ideas? Or?
Yeah, kind of like that. I just write down some things that would sound good, you know, if it was a song and you know, has a meaning to it. And then I just go from there and put some guitar to it, make it sound good.
Do you struggle getting to completion, or do you usually, once the ideas come together, know what you want?
Most of the time I'll have trouble if I, you know, put the song away for about a week and then go back to it. But if I'm really into writing a song, you know, I can write in one take and just, like, you know, it's complete.
Do you find when you put it away that it's kind of amazing what can happen while you're not thinking about it?
Yeah.
If I get stuck and I park something for a while, I might wake up in the middle of the night and all of a sudden have the answer. Hmm. Have you thought about what you want to do after you're in 10th grade now?
Yes.
What you might want to do after graduating?
I was actually thinking, because I am really good at science, I was thinking of going into, like, biochemistry and maybe possibly getting my doctorate in medicine.
Excellent. That's a great objective. You know, music, I know so many people studying medicine that are really talented musically. They seem to go hand in hand. Also, computer science and music seems to often go hand in hand. Do you? I think we linked to some website. What's the best way for people to get in touch with your music? Do you have anything posted?
Yes, I have a Facebook page. It's called Elias Corey Band, and how you spell that is E-L-I-A-S K-H-O-U-R-I Band.
Excellent. Do you ever busk at all?
Once or twice. I haven't really had much of the opportunity because of, you know, school and writing songs and all that, you know, work.
Yeah.
I try to.
Yeah, you do. I think you do. I think people would stop dead in their tracks to listen to you. I think your voice and your playing would just, people would say, wait, what? And just stop and listen. Is there anything else you'd like to say that I didn't get a chance to ask you about?
This next song, me and my friend Kaya wrote, and we kind of wrote the lyrics together, and, you know, I just put the guitar to it.
Excellent. Thank you for being here today. And here's the original now from Elias Corey.
Girl, you smile, your eyes, they light up the night. Waking up to you is like winning a fight. Holding your hand takes you to another world, cause you'll always be my girl. I know you're lost, I know you don't need a man, but maybe, 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 baby, 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 I can. I'll give everything, you'd give everything. I want everything. I'd be your everything. Girl, be my tonight. Oh, be my tonight. When I look into your eyes, all I see is our future. And all the other guys don't stand a chance. All I could see was you and me at our last dance. God said, you know, we'd be together, we would not be friends. Wondering if this nightmare will ever end. Having you close, but not close enough. Seeing your face, but not feeling your touch. Feeling your touch. Cause I'd give everything.
You'd give everything. I'd want everything. You'd be my everything. Yes, be my tonight. Oh, be my tonight. When I look into your eyes, all I see is our future. And all the other guys don't stand a chance. All I could see was you and me at our last dance. This guitar, I can make it so far, even though they think I'm crazy. We might get so far again if you give me one more chance. For girl, be my tonight, be my tonight. When I look into your eyes, all I see is our future. And all the other guys don't stand a chance. All I could see was you and me at our last dance for you.
There he is. That's Elias Corey. And Elias turned that performance in back on April 1st, 2017. He is still active, and I can't wait to have him back once again. Good morning to Ruth. Thank you for the note you sent about Jewish and Black Historic Hill District ties and a link to an article. Also, the Stapletons are here. I'm really thrilled about that. A harp and guitar duo that mixes Appalachian balladry, also Delta blues, British folk. You're going to hear quite a bit coming up. They'll be here with us in our next hour. Now, in honor of Jerry Weber, we would like to share with you a documentary that students created back in 2013, and you'll hear Jerry featured as part of it. Jerry, if you don't know, was the owner of Jerry's Records, preceded by Record Graveyard before that, and Garbage Records was another store of Jerry's. I wanted to share this with you. The kids got, if memory serves, some really great comments from Jerry as part of the story. And then we're going to hear some students later this hour talking about a video they made as part of the Fairchild Challenge. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, Chad Green, and the Stapletons warming up. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
The Green Compass.
The Green Compass.
Exploring the road to a better Pittsburgh.
Where we are and where we are going.
I'm Alexander Schempf. For over 100 years, musicians have recorded music in a form that could be purchased by the general public. Cassette tapes, 8-tracks, and many other forms of distribution were used by musical artists. As music technology has advanced, many forms of distribution have become obsolete. One format, however, has remained the same. Vinyl records have been a staple for music lovers. Though continually popular collector's items, vinyl records have had a recent resurgence. I caught up with Fred Bond, owner of Attic Records in Millvale, one of about a dozen flourishing vinyl stores in the greater Pittsburgh area, about the long-standing existence of records.
If you think about it, there's really nothing that's around in its same state that has been the same for this long period of time.
Fred gave his opinion as to why so many music lovers find a common interest in records.
It's a personalized thing. There's so much music out there, and it doesn't really matter what you're into. There's something in records for just about everybody. Record collecting, I guess, in a way, is sort of like a motorcycle club where you have something in common, and the people that have it think alike. Even if you're into different types of music, it's still something that you have in common that's unique. It's such a wide market.
Despite the fact that records first became available to listeners via gramophone in the late 1880s, Fred says that music lovers of all ages continue to be captivated by records' unique qualities and quirks that CDs and other modernized forms of music recording cannot provide.
Well, it continuously keeps getting younger and younger. It doesn't surprise me on a daily basis to have an 8-year-old kid coming in looking for AC/DC records.
Since the store opened over 3 decades ago, Fred has seen how the surrounding neighborhood can benefit from the enduring record community.
It's been a Millvale staple for many, many years. Like, there's a lot of people that use us as a landmark when they're looking for other things in Millvale.
This enthusiasm for records is not limited to one spot in Pittsburgh. Across town, Jerry Weber, owner of the well-known Jerry's Records in Squirrel Hill, also shares Fred's sentiments.
I've seen more people walk out of here with a smile on their face over the last 40 years.
According to Jerry, Pittsburgh has always had a very strong presence in the record community.
National Record Mart was the first chain of music stores in the United States of America, and they were based in Pittsburgh.
Jerry has noticed that the ages of those interested in record collecting are getting younger.
70% of the people in here are as young as 16 and right on up to the 30s.
From the attic to Jerry's, to other record stores such as Meinkier in Pittsburgh's Polish Hill and 720 Records in Lawrenceville, Pittsburgh's vinyl scene still is as strong as ever. As a music format that has withstood the test of time, records continue to play an important role in the Pittsburgh community.
Because it's cool. It's cool to buy records. Records will never let you down.
The Green Compass was produced at the studios of the Saturday Light Brigade.
By students participating in the Heinz Endowments Youth Philanthropy Internship Program.
All statements and opinions are those of the speakers and do not necessarily represent those of the Heinz Endowments.
More information on the Youth Philanthropy Internship Program is available at heinz.org.
That's from 2013, created by Alexander, and a great tribute to Jerry. Thank you to Jim and Blackridge, who sent a nice note about Jerry's early career as a letter carrier and how he began collecting records by going to Woolworth's to purchase records destined for the cutout bin or the discount stacks.
Well, it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, if and you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, I'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's all. Side of the road, but I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. We never did too much talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's all right. Like you never done before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal. I can't hear you anymore. I'm thinking and wondering, walking way down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I've been told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. Don't think twice, it's all. So long. I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, so I'll just say fairly well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. Don't think twice, it's all right.
Well, you know the song, I think, the group Nothing Fancy with Don't Think Twice. It's all right. The Stapletons are going to be joining us shortly. And just by spending a little time with them here in the studio, I think I know that you're going to enjoy them. And you'll get to know them in about 25 minutes or so. Thank you for being with us today.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's spacial.com.
Next week, we are going to talk about Open Doors, Pittsburgh. We also have Tom Wendt from the Vinyl Report joining us. And the new Hazlett Theater with a preview of The Princess is Right. On February 19th, Stage 62. Will be here with us with a preview of a program called Disney's Descendants on February 26th. Prime Stage Theater joins us. And also, we plan to have a musical group known as Duck. Lots to come week in and week out here at SLB. Now, we are going to go back and hear from some Carson Middle School students. Now, they are probably seniors in high school now, but at the time they were in seventh grade. They made a video to try to help educate other people about climate change. And although this is radio, they'll do a very good job of describing that video and its impact and the recognition that they received. The Fairchild Challenge is a national competition. It's sponsored locally by Phipps Conservatory and Botanical Gardens. And the idea is, on a regular basis throughout the school year, a challenge is issued, and students in middle schools and high schools respond to the challenge. And then those whose responses were particularly articulate or beautiful, or that showed up great depth, are honored. And today, we have seventh graders Drew Lopasinski, Nolan Collery, and Eric Bloomquist here with us from Carson Middle School. I'll have to ask right away how'd I do with Drew's name? Was
pretty well.
Yeah. Can you say it for me?
Lopasinski.
I got the Pazinski part right,
yes,
but not the first syllable. The first syllable should have been relatively easy.
Drew, tell me a bit about yourself. What do you like to do?
Well, I'm in seventh grade and at Carson Middle School, and I play the trombone in the band, and I'm in jazz band, wind ensemble, the seventh grade band, and I love to play baseball. I'm on the middle school baseball team, and I also love to play basketball, and I'm always doing something. I feel like I'm always involved in something.
I should have just asked you if there's stuff you don't like to do.
I love to read.
I pointed to Chad. He plays trombone also. And, oh, there he is. He plays trombone. And that's an instrument I've always been curious about. Was it hard to learn?
Well, I think that any instrument is a little bit hard to learn, but I've been playing it since fifth grade, and it's come along well, so I like it.
Is there anybody you'd like to give a shout-out to who may be listening now or maybe later when this is on demand?
Well, Mrs. Boyd, our goal teacher, she's a great teacher. She's always giving us opportunities to do interesting things, and she just is such a great teacher.
Excellent. She sounds like she must be great. And did you say, what's the name of the program she teaches?
Goal. It's the Gifted Opportunities for Advanced Learning.
G-O-A-L.
Yes.
Do you think they came up with the acronym first and then tried to find words that fit it?
Yes, maybe.
I wonder about that with acronyms, but that's great. It's nice to meet you, Drew. And let's meet Nolan Collery, who's here too. Hi, Nolan.
Hi.
Did I do okay with your name?
Yeah.
I should learn after all these years to check that before I say them. Tell me a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm Nolan Collery, as you said earlier. I'm 13, go to Carson Middle School. I have one sister. Her name's Brenna. Hoping she's listening right now. I play percussion, especially drum set. I'm in the jazz band. I help out in the wind ensemble. I play in the sixth grade band, too. And then on the sports page, I play water polo for the North Allegheny team.
Wow. You guys all have a lot going on. Now, you mentioned the sixth grade band.
Yeah.
Is that to round out the number of players they have?
It's just because when all the sixth grade bands come in, they're not as great as the older bands, but they have some people with the percussion come help out, because some of the parts they play get pretty hard. So we come down, just help them out when they can so they can be better.
That's great. Have you thought about marching band?
I have, actually.
Do you think you'll do it?
Yeah.
When are you eligible?
That's in ninth grade.
Okay, so you have some time. I played drums, and I did not play snare. I was not good enough to play snare in marching band. You probably will be if you like playing a set. And do you know your rudiments, your paradiddles,
yeah,
and all that stuff? Do you think these guys know what a paradiddle is?
Probably
not. Wait. I saw Eric's hand go up. That means he studied drums at one time.
He has.
Maybe. Is there... we said hello to your sister. Anybody else?
No, just Mrs. Boyd, if she's listening. Hi, big thanks for helping us through this process.
Great. And let's meet Eric Bloomquist, who is here too. Hey, Eric.
Hello.
So, do you play drums now?
Well, I'm sort of into a lot of instruments. So, in fifth grade, I got a drum set for Christmas. I've been playing the alto saxophone since fourth grade.
Wow.
So, I've been playing in, all of us are in band. So, we all play a seventh grade band and our wind ensemble and jazz band. And then I did a little bit of work with our eighth grade band for the, we had a Veterans Day assembly. And my teacher actually asked me to learn a completely new instrument for that concert.
You're kidding.
And I did it anyway.
What instrument?
The tenor sax. So it's similar fingerings, but it's just lower and has different note names.
Wow. You guys all have strong musical interests. In fact, if you could duplicate yourselves, or I guess we could overdub you in a recording session, there are probably like at least 10 instruments among all three of you, if not with trombone, a couple saxes, two sets of drums. I'm missing some things.
Sing.
Yeah,
I
singing.
Like to sing.
Yeah, we could put together a band with you guys. Eric, anybody you'd like to say hello to who might be tuned in?
My parents, my sister Maddie, my goal teacher, Mrs. Boyd, as Drew and Nolan both said. That's pretty much it. Anyone who'd be listening?
Great. Well, I'd like to sort of turn it over to you guys. First, maybe talk a little bit about climate change itself and what it is. Some people could really use a good lay explanation of that, and then how you approach the video. And I'll interject every now and then, but let's just turn it over to you. And Nolan, you want to start?
Sure. So the climate change is mainly about what the video is about is on the greenhouse effect, which is the release of carbon emissions into the atmosphere, which just it's slowly heating the world up, melting the ice caps, all that. So,
And we approached this video. We wanted to make a video that was funny, and it's actually a musical video. And so I wrote all the music and the lyrics, and we taught it to the people in the video, and we sang it. And so we wanted to make a video that would maybe make a small difference and people would learn so that a big difference could be made. So that's why we wanted to make the video.
What do you think people don't understand about climate change?
I think they don't really understand how dangerous it is. Like all the cars that are going around the earth and all the factories every day are just releasing like millions of pounds of carbon dioxide a second. And that's really putting stress on the earth.
And do you think it's a solvable problem?
I don't think, at least not for a long time, we're going to be too able to completely solve it. But just little changes, like instead of driving your car, if you're only going little ways, ride a bike, take a walk. You know, just the small things help.
Yeah, and something a lot of people don't understand is they think like, oh, I'll just use an electric car, like that's fine. But what they don't understand is that when you use a gas car, you're releasing the gas while you're driving, but when you use an electric car, they still have to burn to make fuel for the electricity, so no matter what you're using, you're still putting out those gases in the atmosphere.
Yeah, that's a good point. If you're driving your electricity from a coal-fired power plant, you're still emitting. You're just not emitting directly from your car. So, how in writing your musical did you like choose existing songs and write new words to them, or
no,
how did you go about it?
It was an entirely original score, and so I wrote the melodies and the lyrics, and it's called The Steel Wheel, and it's about a biker who makes a difference by trying to convince people not to ride in their cars anymore, to take a bike and take a ride to reduce the emissions. And so I wrote all the music, and it was really fun.
Is it online?
I think so. I don't know the link, but
okay.
Did
Phipps put it online, or
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, because we would play it. I would love to play it sometime. How's the reaction been to it among your classmates? And obviously the Fairchild people liked it.
Oh, they all loved it. Our classmates really, really liked it. And we all liked it, too.
Oh, that's great. You know, one thing that concerns me a bit is I don't know if people are taking global warming or climate change as seriously as they should be. I saw you nodded your head right away.
You know, it feels like there are two sides to the argument. A lot of people are feeling like climate change is like the end all. It's just the worst thing ever. And then there are people who just don't even like bother to figure out what it is. I feel like if we could just get to a happy middle ground, get to a place where people understand how they can fix it, but not need to like, you know, try to alter the course of everyone's lives just to try and slow it down.
So here we have Drew Lopezinski and Nolan Collery and Eric with a K, Bloomquist. We're talking about whether people are taking global warming seriously or not. And you were saying it seems to be like two extremes, one or the other.
Earlier, I said people feel like global warming is not a problem. They feel like they're invincible. Like nothing will be happening if we keep up what we're doing. And then there are other people who are on the extreme end who feel that global warming has to be stopped. You can't take a car anywhere. The factories should just be shut down forever. But I mean, it's like we just need to find a middle ground where we can still like drive cars, but we just limit our use of them. That's what I feel is the biggest cause.
Yeah, so when it requires a small action by individual people, it that makes it really hard because you feel like, well, I don't have to do this. Other people are going to do it instead of me, and you get that feeling, I think. I think your video is going to be fine. Chad just took a listen. Ah, yes. Apparently, does it start really quietly?
A little.
Yeah.
I think it does. I think that's what's happening. So let's take a listen, and I'm eager to hear it, and I'll read it. Oh, wow, there's credits. Starring Eric Bloomquist as Gassy Gus. Drew is David Hoffman, the Steel Wheel. And then Nolan is the weatherman. And the biker girls, Anna Lou, Emmeler Park, Nina,
so,
and Samantha.
So, later this evening, we'll have some rain and flash flooding due to the weather heating up. And that's right, folks. It's only going to be getting warmer. That's due to climate change and the emission of carbon, which causes the greenhouse effect, which makes Earth like, well, a giant greenhouse. Not good in any ways if you...
Ah, greenhouse effect, my foot. If it stops me from selling my diesel-sucking, carbon dioxide-releasing cars, I won't have none of it.
Every day it gets worse, these cars, taking over the road, these cars. I learned from the time I was hit, something needed to be done. I can change it car by car, tire by tire, till it spreads like wildfire. So I became the Steel Wheel.
Have you ever thought to ride a bike? It helps the environment.
Biking is the way to go. It reduces the emissions, did you know? It gets you into shape and it's fun to do. And it helps the environment too. The Steel Wheel is going to save the day.
The effects on this are great. Everything.
The sales of my cars are going down. This is making me angry.
Uh-oh. Now we see a parking lot, which is getting a little emptier.
Who are you, and what do you mean? You're ruining my car sales, you biking old bean.
I am the Steel Wheel, and I work to make the world ideal. Your cars release chemicals, and it is terrible. Soon there will be no more us, unless you stop and take a pause. The carbon dioxide will make the world hot, and everything else will be for naught.
But you mean if I don't stop selling cars, there will be no more ice cream bars?
Gassy Gus, you're absolutely correct.
Let's make a deal to make this right. Instead of selling cars, you might try to sell bikes.
Gassy Gus, changing his business plan.
The mission of biking will just keep going. Effect on the world will just keep showing.
Biking is the way to go. It reduces the emissions, did you know? It gets you into shape and it's fun to do. And it helps the environment too. The Steel Wheel is going to save the day. The Steel Wheel is going to save the day. The Steel Wheel is going to save the day.
That's really well done, and that may be the first time we've ever played a video on the radio. I'm telling you that, and it works that way. So, who did you did you all score this together?
I wrote it all. Yes, and my brother helped me a little too. So I'd like to thank him for that because he helped me to write the music. He's also very gifted in music. So,
wow, that was really fun to listen to. Just amazing. To take on.
we have a little bit of time. I'm still I'm changing. We've never played a video before. This was really quite a thing that we just did there. But now we're all now we're all taking care of. There's what I was looking for. I was looking for a particular song that I wanted to play. So do you guys know Bike Pittsburgh at
yeah,
all?
Yes. That's, yeah. that's the whole video we made it about. So
okay.
Yeah.
Have you sent it to Bike Pittsburgh?
No.
You should. I'll try to put it on their Facebook page on your behalf because I think they would like it a lot. Now, I'm curious if any of you thought much about what you might – you're also well-rounded, but what you might like to do after you graduate from high school. I know you get asked that all the time. I'm getting shaking heads. Every head is shaking right now. Any thoughts or ideas? Eric didn't shake nearly as hard.
Well, I know the field I want to work in. So, I mean, I'm going to go to college. And after that, probably something in the math or science field. I'm not really too linguistic. So, I mean, I'll probably work as... I'd like to be something like geology field.
Ooh, that's... My wife has a degree in geology and hydrogeology. And nursing, go figure. But she's got, she collects all of them. What do you like about geology?
Well, we do different science units in our school. And in third grade, we did an earth science unit. So I just found it really fascinating how, you know, different rocks have like different hardnesses and how they all form. And they have different properties. And like some rocks can be used for other things while others don't really have as many uses.
So would Mohs scale resonate with you? Mohs scale of hardness?
Yeah, like diamonds, the
yeah,
10. And
talcum powder to diamonds, if I remember that correctly. Wow, you learned that early. I don't think I learned that until I was in eighth grade or possibly college. What have you thought about anything?
I'd maybe like to go into the medical field to become a doctor, maybe. I'm still thinking. I just like to continue what I'm doing until I know.
And that's Drew who's speaking. You know, I was talking to somebody who is close to graduating from college with an engineering degree, and he's not exactly sure what he wants to do when he graduates. There's so many different options. And Nolan, how about you?
Well, I guess... I've always been interested in robotics, and I've had a few friends who, like, parents at Uber, CMU, so I guess robotics engineer would be up there.
You know what I read about this morning that I found amazing is Pitt just developed a wheelchair that runs on compressed air instead of a battery.
It did?
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And there, I don't know if it's been in the paper, but I got a little note from Pitt about this. So not only do you not have to generate you might have to generate electricity to compress the air that goes in the air tanks, but it doesn't weigh a whole lot because, you know, the batteries are really heavy in a wheelchair. So it only weighs about 80 pounds, which is low for a motorized wheelchair. And it's also you don't have to worry about water. It's waterproof. In fact, they're going to be using it in an amusement park that has water rides to test it. It's in Texas, not in Pittsburgh, unfortunately. Oh, okay. But they're going to use it to do that. But isn't that a neat a neat application? Nobody ever thought of that before. Mm. So, thanks, all of you, for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Anything any of you meant to say that you didn't get a chance to?
I mean, I think we're all just, like, really close friends because we have a lot in common.
You guys do seem like good friends. Yeah, you all seem like individuals, too. We'll post your video up along with a picture of you guys on our Facebook page, and I hope we'll see you again sometime. Thanks.
Thank you.
From Carson Middle School, there you've got Drew Lepusinski, Nolan Collery, and Eric Bloomquist, and you can see them in their video. It really is you guys really did a great job with that. I think sometimes what I like about your video is you considered your audience and the people that actually would be watching it. Sometimes people do videos, I think, that are almost more for themselves than their audience. So I'm not surprised that the Fairchild Challenge honors came to you guys.
there from 2017. You had the Carson Middle School students just featured. Come